Good morning. I wrote this for my relatives and pen pals that I have around the world. I didn't, Pastor Stacy said I could use it. I didn't change it any. With 15 others from our church, Dennis and I were part of an estimated 50 million people annually to visit Israel. Unlike my usual travel reports, this is a more personal narrative. The purposes of the trip were to learn about Jesus, his life, his times, his land, his Hebrew faith, and to bring the Bible to life by seeing where it took place. I thought I was prepared. Extra cushions in my shoes, a fresh camera card and batteries, months of practice going at an incline on the gym treadmill, reading about and watching videos online on the places we would visit. But these were solely tangible preparations, not spiritual. On February 15th, our first day, we sailed across the sea or lake of Galilee and recalled how Jesus told his disciples, who had been having no luck fishing, to drop their nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. That's from Luke 5, verses 1 to 7. Later in the trip, we purchased an olive wood hand carving of a boat showing the disciples casting their nets. We thought it was one of the less publicized miracles. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. It's from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. When my pastor put a little of that water on my head in order for me to remember my own baptism, I was not prepared for the emotions I felt and for some tears. At the Franciscan Wedding Chapel in Cana, the site where Jesus turned water into wine, Dennis and I and the other married couples were formally blessed. In 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in Qumran. We were fortunate to have seen the traveling display at the Los Angeles Museum of Natural History last year. It made an impression on me seeing that the Bible came from such ancient writings, not just from a bookstore. We were able to visit Qumran to see the remains of the community that had the scribes. Every day we traveled on the maroon bus. It was our identity for the trip. There were other churches represented on our bus, Connecticut, Michigan, and Massachusetts. For breakfast and dinner, we ate with our maroon bus friends. While traveling from one site to the next, our tour guide, Claudia, prepared us with a wealth of information. History flowed from her mouth whenever she spoke. I tried to get the main ideas. In Bethlehem, we waited for an hour in the Church of Nativity to individually see and touch the golden star placed in the cave revered as the birthplace of Jesus. It was worth the wait, and that's what Dennis was talking about. One of the most memorable times for me was praying at the Western Wall. Although I know that God hears my prayers wherever I am, there was a special, more intense feeling when I put my forehead against the wall to pray. I think I will always remember what and who I prayed for. The Western Wall has been the center of Jewish yearning and memory for more than 2,000 years. It is the only fragment of the Great Temple to survive the Roman destruction. It was built to support the western side of the Temple Mount and is the most sacred structure of the Jewish people. Also in Jerusalem, we followed in Christ's steps on the Via Dolorosa, path of pain, or the way of the cross. Lining the streets were vendors crying, $1, $1, only $1. Only once did I succumb. Some of the stations of the cross were in the magnificent Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I had prepared by studying the December issue of National Geographic, which had gorgeous photos. It was built over the place where Jesus is said to have been crucified. We waited a long time, rewarded by being able to touch the spot. On February, On February 20th, we ascended by cable car to Masada, overlooking the Dead Sea, Herod's legendary mountaintop fortress, which became the last desperate stronghold of the Jewish zealots against the Romans. We looked down on the remains of the Roman camps. I thought it was impressive that they committed a systematic mass suicide in 73 AD instead of becoming slaves to the Romans. There were 15 other places that we visited. It was difficult to choose what to include in my report, and the pages feel quite inadequate. Then I have a reference for the videos on YouTube. Before we left the United States, I thought I was fairly well prepared for our trip to the Holy Land. Now I know why it's called a pilgrimage. The dictionary defines pilgrimage as a journey to a sacred place as an act of devotion. Everywhere we visited was sacred in some way, and our leaders helped us experience all of it spiritually. At each holy site, the corresponding Bible passage was read, and we sometimes sang a hymn as well. Although we had a pocket songbook, it was the spontaneous praise songs that meant the most to me, as they reminded me of various church groups that I've been a member of over the years. Now I think that no one can be fully prepared for such an experience, but I'm glad I tried, I'm glad I went, especially since it was with my husband Dennis, our pastor, and members of my church family. And something, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but ever since I got back, worship service, when we sing hymns, sometimes I have to lip sync. Because it feels different now.